Going to a costume party, pal? The driver asked Ignatius as they turned onto St. Charles Avenue.
Watch where you're going and speak when you're spoken to, Ignatius thundered.
During the ride, the driver said nothing else, but Ignatius practiced his speech loudly in the back seat, rapping his cutlass against the front seat to emphasize certain key points. At St. Peter Street, he got out and first heard the noise, dim yet frenetic singing and laughing coming from the three-story stucco building. Some prosperous Frenchman had built the house in the late 1700s to house a menage of wife, children, and spinster tantes. The tantes had been stored up in the attic, along with the other excess and unattractive furniture, and from the two little dormer windows in the roof, they had seen what little of the world they believed existed outside of their own mond of slanderous gossip, needlework, and cyclical recitations of the rosary. But the hand of the professional decorator had exorcised whatever ghost of the French bourgeoisie might still haunt the thick brick walls of the building. The exterior was painted a bright canary yellow. The gas jets and the reproduction brass lanterns mounted on either side of the carriageway flickered softly, their amber flames rippling in reflection on the black enamel of the gate and shutters. On the flagstone paving beneath both lanterns, there were old plantation pots in which Spanish daggers grew and extended their sharply pointed stilettos. Ignatius stood before the building, regarding it with extreme distaste. His blue and yellow eyes denounced the resplendent facade. His nose rebelled against the very noticeable odor of fresh enamel. His ears shrank from the bedlam of singing, cackling, and giggling that was going on behind the closed black patent leather shutters. Testily clearing his throat, he looked at the three brass doorbells and at the little white cards above each. Billy Trueheart, Raoul Frail, 3A. Frida Club, Betty Bumper, Liz Steele, 2A. Dorian Green, 1A. He jabbed a finger into the bottom bell and waited. The frenzy behind the shutters abated very slightly. A door opened somewhere down the carriageway, and Dorian Green came walking toward the gate.
Oh dear,
he said when he saw who was out on the sidewalk.
Where in the world have you been?
I'm afraid that the kickoff rally is fast getting out of hand. I have tried unsuccessfully once or twice to call the group to order, but apparently feelings are running rather high.
I hope you've done nothing to dampen their morale,
Ignatius said gravely, tapping his cutlass impatiently on the iron gate. He noticed somewhat angrily that Dorian was walking toward him a little unsteadily. This was not what he had expected.
Oh, what a gathering,
Dorian said as he opened the gate.
Everyone is simply letting his hair down.
Dorian did a rapid and uncoordinated pantomime to illustrate this.
Oh my God, Ignatius said. Stop that appalling obscenity.
Several people will be completely ruined after this evening. There's going to be a mass exodus from Mexico City in the morning. But then Mexico City is so wonderfully wild.
I certainly hope that no one has tried to inflict any warmongering resolutions upon the gathering.
Oh, goodness, no.
I'm relieved to hear that. Heaven knows what opposition we may have to face, even at the outset. We may have some enemy within. Word may have leaked out to the whole military combine of the nation, and for that matter, the world.
Well, come along, Gypsy Queen, let's get inside.